Chapter 4. Are you okay? Hoisong stares wild-eyed at the message. It is the fifth one he's received. The phone has rung for him more times than that, but he'd resolutely put it on silent after the first time. Fuck. Yes, he writes eventually, because there's no way he's going to admit to the truth at this point. Sorry, I was shocked when I saw the time on your phone. Didn't realize how late it was. Sorry about the teacup. He stares at his phone. That is such obvious bullshit, isn't it? But what the hell else should he say? Forget the teacup. Are you really okay? I'm okay. Everything is okay. Got to dash. Okay. Love you. Hoisong makes a strangled noise when he reads the last one and bangs his head gently against the wall. Hoisong has no idea why the hell he has run away to his studio, because obviously he isn't going to go ahead with this evening session now, is he? Not now that he fucking knows. It was all very well when it was just a fucking fantasy. Just a really, really dirty, forbidden, never admit this shit to anyone, even on your goddamn deathbed fantasy. But now? God. Ming Tui would never forgive him if he went ahead and... Not that he wants to, obviously, because that would be sick and... And he's never going to have this, is he? Not in real life. Not in the flesh. He's never going to have Ming Tui's beloved voice telling him to drop to his knees and suck his cock, or whispering how much he wants to bite Hoisong's nipples until they're red. He's never going to actually get to ride Ming Tui's dick or hear Ming Tui telling him his body is perfect or that he wants to bend him over a desk at work dressed in nothing but stockings and lipstick and heels and fuck him until he screams. Oh, Jesus Christ. It was Ming Tui. All of those things. Everything. It was all Ming Tui. Hoisong's knees turn to jelly and he has to sit down. And lets out a strangled yelp when he does so too fast and careless and jams the damn butt plug unceremoniously deeper into his ass. He feels like crying. God, he's ruined everything. He's fucking ruined everything. He's going to have to delete the account and end the Kickstarter and return the money and stop the whole photography thing and just pretend none of this ever happened and that he doesn't know what Ming Tui would be like in bed or... Oh, God, he's never going to get over this. What the fuck has he done to himself? He is crying now. Big, ugly, stupid, wrenching sobs. Beautiful, is he? Not right now, he's not. Not with his face blotchy and snot running from his nose. God, he is such a fucking moron. It was bad enough when he thought that Ming Tui would never, could never, but... But now he knows that if they weren't related, if they were strangers, Ming Tui would adore him. This is... It's a lot. Hoisong thought his head was ready to burst before, but now? God, how is he going to explain it? Should he just not explain anything? Just ghost him? But then Ming Tui would be hurt. He knows he would. Not just angry, even if Hoisong returns... all the money, Ming Tui will be hurt, and he'll worry, the overprotective fucking idiot. He'll worry about some stupid nameless camboy with pretensions of artistic grandeur, and he'll probably get a detective on the case to try and track him down and make sure he hasn't been murdered, knowing Ming Tui. So ghosting is not a good idea. And if he's going to see him again, speak to him again, then, well... Nie Hoisong is never, ever going to get this for real, is the thing. And he's been completely wrecked by these sex sessions, just imagining it was Nie Ming Tui ordering him around, and gasping out frantic words of adoration as he jerked himself off. But now that he knows for a fact that Ming Tui actually is watching him, actually is getting hard over him, well, it's not really fair, is it? to never, ever have the chance to experience this while knowing whose voice it is. And they've already gone so far. It's not like one more session is going to make any difference to how much bad, wrong, inappropriate overstepping of lines has already happened, is it? That ship has already sailed, so perhaps... This time, when the light clicks on, indicating that Ming Cui has logged in, Hoisang is ready. He's wearing glossy red heels from a specialist shop that he's only used for one photoshoot before, and fishnet stockings held up by a garter belt, and nothing else except for an off-the-peg black tuxedo jacket and matching vest that he's worn to events with his brother, with a red rose pinned to the lapel. It looks very much like any other tux, but Hoisang knows. The odds of Ming Cui noticing are very small, but it still feels like a tease. Like he's begging Ming Cui to put two and two together and want him anyway. He is also recklessly wearing a different mask this time. A half mask, which leaves his lower face bare. And he's wearing a slick of bright red lipstick on his mouth like a challenge. But he has his back to the camera, bending over the desk with his legs spread and the pale globe of his ass offered like a gift, the black folds of the tuxedo framing it and the jeweled butt plugs sparkling between his thighs. And as soon as he sees the light flicker on, he stops peering back over his shoulder, so the lipstick probably hasn't hit Ming Cui yet. Nevertheless, Ming Cui gasps audibly, and Hoisang can't help smiling to himself and preening a little. "Dee Dee," says Ming Cui, and Hoisang gives a whole body shiver of weak-kneed desperation at that. "Fuck." He bites his lip, then stands up straight with a sinuous motion and turns around to face the camera. There's another indrawn hiss of breath, and Hoisang closes his eyes under the mask, waiting for Ming Cui's shocked exclamation, recognition, rejection, everything falling apart. But it doesn't come. "Your mouth," says Ming Cui, sounding stunned but not angry. "Fucking hell, your mouth, Dee Dee." Hoisang feels the rush of power slide through him again, hearing Ming Cui's voice trembling with desire. God, this is intoxicating. He licks his lips, and Ming Cui actually moans. He ducks his head a little, then looks up through the eye holes of the mask. He isn't sure whether the coal smudged around his eyes is visible, but it still makes him feel pretty. "Does Daga like his Dee Dee like this?" he asks, coy and performative, because that's the only shield he has left at this point. "Yes," says Ming Cui, blunt as ever. "I've had this plug inside me all day, keeping me ready for Daga," he says. And here's another small, indistinguishable sound coming through the speakers. "I've been so ready. All I could think of all day was your cock, Daga," Hoisang says, honestly. "What would Daga do if he was here?" And so Hoisang goes ahead with the session, knowing exactly who he's teasing, knowing exactly who's telling him to finger himself and describing pinning him down on the desk and fucking him into it, knowing exactly who is brokenly gasping, "Dee Dee," as he comes on the other side of the city, from watching Hoisang writhe and moan like a porn star with his fingers in his ass. And he does not say a single word about this being the last session, does not close down the Kickstarter or take down his blog, or do any of the sensible, honest, decent things he should do. Instead, he goes reckless and gladiatorial, aware that any moment everything could come tumbling down around him, and determined to wring every bit of guilty pleasure out of the moments that he has. After all, there are only 6 more sessions, and then Hoisang can cut all ties and move on with his life. He's never going to be able to move on with his life, but he's just not thinking about that right now. In the meanwhile, he's maybe overstepping a few other boundaries. He's probably not in the healthiest headspace right now, really. But since doom seems inevitable, he's slipped into a sort of YOLO mindset. And that's what sends him round to Ming Cui's apartment during the early afternoon when he knows for a fact that Ming Cui is at work. He unlocks the door with his own key and walks in, feeling like a burglar. And he isn't surprised when he walks into the bedroom and sees his photographs filling both of the available walls. He'd had a feeling about it. $5,000. Ming Tui really likes his photographs. And him. Hoi Song is already peeling off his clothes before the door has closed behind him. When he's naked, he peels back the covers and sinks into Ming Tui's bed, shivering at the delicate scrape of Egyptian cotton against his bare skin. He was already hard and wet when he unlocked the apartment door. He knows he won't last any time at all buried in Ming Tui's bed, breathing in the scent of his brother from the pillows and helplessly jerking his dick as he sobs his brother's name. He wipes his sticky hand on the sheets afterwards, and beneath the pillow, wanting the smell of him to be on Ming Tui as he sleeps. And then he makes the bed up, as neatly as it was before, and gets dressed again, and leaves the apartment on wobbly Bambi legs, more than half amazed at his own behavior, but still feeling no regrets. If this is all he's getting, he's going to take whatever he can. After the 13th session, as Hoi Song is clearing up the chocolate syrup, his whole body still tingling and shocky in the afterglow, and the echo of Ming Tui's laughter in his ears, and the prospect of losing all of this forever looming before him, he reaches a decision. It is either the absolute worst or the absolute best idea he has ever had.